let's go shoot.
Yeah.
He came out of the shell, I'll tell you
that. Did he?
Yeah.
Good. That's what exactly what he needed.
Okay.
All right. So, work session items. We don't have a lot to talk about other than things on the agenda. We've got some other things that have popped up that we can, I think Al was going to distribute to you guys a letter from one of the vendors that participated in the bid process for the LED lighting.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to get that to you. He's not here right now.
He's printing it.
Okay.
Everything going smoothly with Spray Park?
It is. It is. We're
All set for tomorrow.
All set for tomorrow. Gates open at noon.
Does anything need to happen in the morning that you need help with?
No, we got it all. It's sealed. The donor bricks went in tonight.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Are the benches here?
Benches went in today. Was inspected by the village.
Yeah, we got a certificate of compliance.
WEP came through.
Yeah, WEP got us
the median. You know, there's always little glitchy things that you got to work out. Originally, Aqua gave us a water meter that wasn't supposed to be going to a pit, so we swapped out that meter. Just little things, but it's all good, set to go. Had security meeting earlier this week with the chief of police, GBAC, and Chris Wall, who's going to help us with parking. That went well. The fire department is going to be on hand, obviously, for the fireworks display. I'll leave that to the Northwest Fire District to determine what department, who, where, and when.
Sorry about that.
Got to put the permits in place.
Oh.
You hear that?
Yeah.
Funny. It's nice. So we're good there. As you can see on the agenda, we're going to be authorizing Tim Woolsey to open up a checking account. We're going to separate a little bit the roles and responsibilities of the clerk's office and the code enforcement office as far as zoning, planning, and code enforcement. Stormwater Coalition, that's been an ongoing effort. Combined municipal effort, intermunicipal cooperative effort that's taken some time. I emailed that to you guys. Were you guys able to take a look at it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool.
I have one question about it. It mentions fees, but it doesn't give an amount. It says that the coalition will vote on fees. Do we have any idea what the fees will be?
Have our fees been?
They haven't gone up in 5 years. So I think we pay.
It's like $1,300 somewhere in there?
$3,350 a year.
Okay.
They provide us a great service. They truly do. They do a wonderful job. They keep us in compliance from an MS4 standpoint, from minimum measures 1 and 2. Provide great trainings and community outreach. And they, quite frankly, give me the information that I need to keep us in compliance for minimum control measures 3 through 6.
It's a really creative way for local municipalities to deal with unfunded mandates.
Sounded good.
So.
Okay. Thank you. That's out.
The landfill, that's an annual. That'll be a contract that'll probably be annually renewed for the foreseeable future just because of the legacy issues of running a town landfill.
Right.
Monitoring.
we may be able to get them to let us do after we've completed 25 years of monitoring them. You know, one instance where they let you go to once every 18 months instead of once a year. So,
what's that date for us?
I believe it's after this year, 6 more years. But that's
2020.
I think it's 2029, 2028 or 2029. It's out there.
Yeah, so.
It's out there.
This will boomerang back around for the foreseeable future.
I mean, that's not a guarantee. Like I said, I only know of one where they allow to do that. And we still show influence on two of our wells from them.
The cyber policy that's on the agenda. I think David forwarded some answers to some questions that were posed at the last board meeting. Hopefully we're ready to move forward with that.
I mean, do you see any, I mean, we're covered outside of the $5,000 deductible, we're covered?
Yeah, I think that's pretty amazing. Much.
I'm going to say, is there some other questions that were asked? Did Dave get answers from that?
Yeah, I think he emailed you back those answers. I'm not an agent, so I'm not in a position to, and David's not here this evening. So if you have really technical questions, but I think the questions that were asked were good questions, and if you're satisfied with his answers, based on what's been going on around us, I'd like to get this in place as soon as possible. We haven't been hit yet. And hopefully we won't, but it's nice to know that we've got this in place to protect us. I think even our own public library is still digging out from some of the chaos that was caused when they got hit.
Don't have a problem. It seems like the wise thing to do.
I mean, you know, I don't know what kind of target's on our back. You know, I'd like to think that we're small enough that we're not worth a hit, but maybe we're small enough to be vulnerable. So.
Oh, I think it's a terrific point. Thing that we should do. I just hope it covers us when it happens.
Yeah. Yep. The only unforeseen spray park related item is item number H, correct, Al? The 4-inch HDP force main?
H and G.
And a lot of that was a result of late input from Department of Health.
We were, as you know, hit with a little curveball with the DEC on our initial discharge plan. In the process of trying to get a pump ordered, I was looking at specs on several different pumps, several different force mains. Simply lost in translation the note on the plans to go from a 2-inch to a 3-inch when we selected the 1-horsepower pumps. Never got done. Turned the pump on, said we had a problem, went back, looked at the calculations and said, oops. That's the bottom line. When you're designing on the fly and making changes like that and running on a deadline with a grand opening and trying to get a pump ordered as soon as possible so that you can get it in as soon as possible, one of the reasons we didn't go with a higher horsepower pump was simply because the lead time on them was longer. The lead time on the smaller horsepower pump was shorter. Actually, they were promised within 3 to 4 weeks. It took 6. Had to get it ordered as soon as possible, and I'm glad we got ordered it when it did, because it didn't come in. And I drove to Rochester last week, Wednesday, to pick it up. So we're to meet the deadline. I mean, I hate to admit it, we're all human. We all make mistakes. I apologize.
Stuff happens, Al.
Don't beat yourself up.
There's not a project that I've worked on, a municipal project, whether it was the square in the village of Baldwinsville or the wall east of the lock, or I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's always unforeseen things that pop up.
Yeah, how would you like to open
a penguin exhibit with the water leaking out of the pool.
Right from the get go.
Not good.
Swim
good.
Fast.
And then the G, the so
that's
we
crazy.
I remember that.
We sent our plans to Aqua with showing the backflow preventer in the pit back in end of March, beginning of April. Never had any problems. Sent in the backflow permit application in May. Finally got comments back 3 weeks ago from Aqua, and the girl that reviews them refused to allow us to install the backflow preventer in the mechanical vault below grade, and insisted that it be installed above grade in the mechanical cabinet, which was a change order to the contract, which required significant time and materials on the plumber's part to get it rerouted. And it's a,
was
well,
it
Joe's seen it. It's a, it was a plumbing challenge, we'll say. To
was there room in the cabinet?
Barely. We just barely meet the minimum clearances required by the Department of Health, but we made it work.
I don't want to belabor it, but I'm just curious, what difference did it make? Where,
so
where
her fear was because there's a 2-inch drain from the vault to the storm sewer in the front yard. Her fear was that if the backflow preventer ever went off, nobody would know that it was running, because nobody ever goes out in the front yard. But ultimately, if the backflow preventer went off, the spray park wouldn't run because it wouldn't have any water pressure, so we would have known. But I, you know, that old, you can't fight City Hall in the end. I just threw my hands up and said, all right, I can make this work going another way. It's just going to cost money. So that was replumbed end of last week.
I won't get into details on what the guy from WEP said when he took a look at what we had to do to design the system. It was comical.
We got about 0.7 miles of pipe in the ground for this.
Yeah.
That says anything.
Are you kidding?
Nope.
Oh my god.
Nope. About 0.7 miles of pipe in the ground. To each one of those spray features has an individual water service, plus all the.
Well, I'm not even talking about that. Like that was part of the original design. I mean, getting water from the main to the features. That was, it was getting the water from the pad to where it needed to go in the end. When the WEP guy is looking at the design that we had to put in place to satisfy
the DEC and the Department of Health,
DEC
was
like, okay. He said, can you describe this to me? And he said some other colorful things and complimented us before we buried it. So, interesting. Been an interesting project. Learned a lot.
Yeah, when the plumbing inspectors has to say, how does this work? You know that it got a little more than and this isn't a junior guy. This is a guy that's been with him for 25 years. So
he was confused.
I wouldn't say confused, but he had to look at it twice to realize what we were doing.
Well, congrats, bud. Nice job.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not quite there yet. I haven't fired the pump back up with a new discharge on it because they're still pulling the force main back. So they still, I think it's going to get dark before they get the whole cord in the manhole, so I'll have to fire it up tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
But we'll make it.
We'll make it.
Skin of our teeth.
Drainage easement.
So we had a provision in that contract to extend it for up to 18 months last year. They did a great job for us. I think it's a good rate for for the amount of work that they did. I would like to continue every year. Next year we'll rebid it, but continue to try to do 15 days of work in various drainage districts every summer to try to get this back under control, because some of these are, I mean, they got willows growing this big in them and sumacs everywhere, and it's they're just overgrown, and they're all full of poison ivy.
It's a mess.
So yeah. Why are we doing it as a resolution? I mean, I understand.
No, just because we're extending the contract.
But why wouldn't we just make the contract longer for next year or whenever?
Because the original contract had a clause in it that you could only extend it for 18 months. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, potentially we could next spring, but we'll probably just rebid it in the spring.
Okay.
I mean, I know some of you guys have noticed some of the spots in Radisson that we cleared, and it's a jungle out there, man.
Trains watch. I mean, I watch what Joe had to do.
Yeah, it's a jungle out there. I mean, it's...
Snakes and everything.
Poison ivy. I'm telling you, one of his guys, by the end of the 3 weeks they did last summer, was literally covered head to toe with poison ivy. I mean, like...
That's
comfortable. I mean, on his face, on his neck, on his ears, on his hands, he was just a mess.
Yeah,
he was a mess. So, and they did a good job, and they moved right along. You know, I know I've heard people say, well, why didn't you do it by a per-foot contract cost? Because I think you would pay a lot more in the end, because every one of these is a little bit different, and they're going to price it based on the worst one that you see when you give them the list of those areas that you want to do. And I think this allows it to average out. And
We've also bumped up our drainage district fees over the last 3 years to allow us to do this type of work.
Program, yeah.
I mean, there was some of those drainage districts weren't charging anything, and we could never bank up enough coin to do the work that we needed to do. So we've corrected that, and it's good to see that we're keeping on top of it now.
So one other thing has come up just yesterday with Tanco Lighting sending us this letter of protest about us moving forward with contract negotiations with Danforth. I'm just giving you this for review. Tony and I will work through it and decide what our next step is going to be from here. I mean, bottom line is, the spec that the RFP that I wrote said that you had to have an office within 100 miles, and Tanco's office is in Buffalo. So technically, we could have just thrown them out right from the get go, but I didn't think that was the right thing to do. So we'll. Danforth provided us with references and completed projects that were required by the RFP, so they meet that. The non-standard pricing request was actually suggested by Tanco Lighting. I think they're upset that they got beat, because we offered to do a lump sum contract with all three vendors that responded, and the bottom line was Danforth came in with a very attractive number. So we will, and that's why we didn't just go ahead and award a contract to Danforth, because Joe and I and Tony will be involved as well, need to hammer out the details of how that contract is going to read to make sure that the town is protected.
So what about this statement here that I'm reading for the first time? This is from Tanco. Nowhere in its publicly listed qualifications does this firm detail any experience with municipal streetlight projects. That's under the first bullet, the first.
I have never looked at Danforth's website, nor do I. I hadn't even considered it, because they gave us a list of references and a list of completed projects in the RFP, as
absolutely.
Bob recalls. So it's not like they had.
They're going on what they see on their website.
That's correct. Oh. Yeah. So I'm not sure. You know, I know that Danforth isn't primarily a lighting contractor, but they had references and they had their required experience to participate in the RFP. So.
Wow.
You know, I think this is just sour grapes that they, and I think Tanco is a great company, and they have great experience and are very well versed in the process, but I mean, bottom line, it's over $300,000 difference.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a,
right.
It's not something that is easy to throw out because of experience, you know what I mean? Or at least not for me. I
$300,000.
That's, I don't care how big a municipality you are. That's a lot of money.
Okay, so you two are gonna deal with this. Okay.
Yeah, we'll put our heads together and come up with a response to them. Because my first, the first email that I typed, you couldn't print. I got home last night at 10 o'clock from the park, and I went through my emails just to see what I missed during the day, and I opened this one, and my head spun backwards. And
one of the requirements is that they have an office here. These guys don't.
I was amazed that they made a claim that the other company did not have any qualifications.
Yeah. And their website. Based on their website.
Yeah.
That's their research.
Yes. They just, and they're not, I mean, they're based out of California. They have a satellite office with one person in it in Buffalo.
A couple of lingering concerns about the highway department. Can we talk about
them? Sure.
Okay. So one is I just would like to see some action step tonight in terms of either a letter or tell me if it's already in place. But I'm getting the sense that the left hand still doesn't know what the right hand is doing as far as charging for the installation of culverts in for private driveways or for private driveways. And I'm hearing that through these guys, through Bob and Pete, that, oh yeah, Jerry said I'm charging for it, but Dean is saying she hasn't seen any money come in. So I'd like to know what's going on.
We can do this. We can just call for an audit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's reasonable for the town board to ask for an audit of work done in our right-of-way regarding driveway culverts. How many have we done? Where have we done them? How much have we charged, if we've charged anything? You know, I think that, you know, you're not asking a question that's unreasonable.
I think Jerry sometimes doesn't give the checks to Dina. I think he takes them directly to Dave. I could be wrong on that, but I've seen him give checks directly to Dave.
Well, any money, and David is out, obviously, today. He'll be back next
week. It's Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday, and I won't be here. But what I'll do is I'll have Nancy have David give you a call, Bob.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think it's reasonable to call for an audit to answer that question. I don't think it's going to be too hard. Any money received from Jerry has got to be placed in a certain account.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that's a good first step. Let me raise some other questions. You know, just like there's always checks and balances in government, and so when you want to do something, you go get a permit. And it used to be that, and Gene, correct me if I'm wrong, but if you wanted to put a culvert in, you went to the town clerk to get for that first step.
A permit application.
And so the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, so I'm not casting any suspicion or aspersions on our highway superintendent, but what happens when the phone rings? Can you put a culvert in front of my house? And does anybody officially know about that? And there ought to be a written trail for everything that happens in our town. And so, you know, so the response would be, oh, you have to go to the comptroller's office or the town clerk, and you pick up a permit, and then that you fill it out, you send, you put a check in for whatever the dollar amount is, and then there's a check and balance with all of that, and that needs to happen. We discovered with the Collington Point thing, you know, there was a lot of left hands and right hands not communicating. Nothing was done wrong, but left hands and right hands weren't communicating. So an audit will tell us what's been done that we have a record of, but it won't tell us if we really have a protocol in place. So how do we put a protocol in place? And let me add to that, I'm hearing from Pete and Bob before this meeting started that we don't even have an official charge for putting in culverts.
All right, so why don't we hear from the highway department what you guys discussed?
So we met yesterday, and we have a draft. I do not believe there's a current policy in place. I think there's some past practices,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know about an official policy.
Just throw it in there.
Yeah, we had hammered out the details of the policy and handed it back to Jerry to put it numbers for prices in, and he...
Right. And yesterday we met, and he still hadn't... He was, oh, I forgot about that.
Right, he apologized for not having back with him, and he put it on his list.
He was going to put it on his list to get it done. So we'll have that shortly.
All right. And that will include, which it didn't include up to this point, correct me if I'm wrong, a cost of labor.
And you know what? The draft we wrote up, I don't think it included labor.
It did include, he said he was going to include labor, and we were going to do it on a per foot basis.
Okay.
So.
It was pipe, stone.
Pipe, stone, and labor, as I recall.
I believe.
He was supposed to put together a per foot cost. I mean, I got an idea in my head what it should be, and.
Okay. Good.
All right, so that's.
And the other part of that new policy was that, you know, I think we're mostly talking about rural driveways. But Jerry raised the issue, and Al walked him through a process that would give this highway superintendent a chance to look at driveways in housing developments. That he at least would get something ahead of time to go look and see about site distances or catch basins or curb cuts or whatever.
I mean, if we need to design a form that is filled out for any, I mean, just call it a...
I personally think that we should have a grading plan and site plan for every building permit that comes in. And currently we just have a survey showing where the house footprint is going to be. And I personally don't think that's adequate. I think we should have the house footprint, the driveway is going to be this wide, it's going to come out to the road in this location, the grading around the house is going to be this, this is the finished floor, this is what the grades, the existing grades at the outside edge of the property are, so that you can show the water drains away, isn't being impounded on the neighboring property. I mean, I think all those things are important, and I'll say this, a lot, most municipalities require that.
So are you talking about for housing developments or just an individual?
Everywhere. Whether it's you're building a garage, whether it's you're building a house, whether you're in a housing tract, whether you're out on Dingle Hole Road building a new house.
So right now the highway superintendent makes that decision unilaterally.
No, the codes enforcement officer gives them a permit based on the house being set on a survey, not showing much of anything.
And so they just put it wherever they want?
Setbacks, and they got to meet with all that stuff.
You got to meet the setbacks, but other than that, they don't look at any of it from a driveway perspective. The highway superintendent doesn't get involved.
The highway superintendent gets, even though it's a new house and there's a permit for the house, he's got to have a driveway permit, and I would go out and make sure.
But not every driveway permit. You didn't get a driveway permit for every house up in Highland Meadows.
No, no.
That's that we're talking about.
Established developments are
Well, no. I mean, really, I think we should. The highway superintendent should be involved in those, and the driveway permit. Same thing. It should be the same process. Whether you're building a house on Dingle Hole Road or whether you're building a house on. I mean, we look at it from a site distance standpoint, so that every house, every lot has a place where, when I review these, I look at every house or every lot. We look at to make sure that they can meet the grade and setback and or the grade and site distance requirements of the road geometry. But yeah, you know, and I know that sometimes these builders come in and they set the house and there's a catch basin right in the middle of the driveway, which is no good for the homeowner or good for us.
So how do we, what do you need from the board, Al, to push that idea further? What do you need? How do we make this
I don't
happen?
Know if we gotta do it as a local law, Tony, in the zoning code, I'm not sure. I don't know if I would if think we'd have to do it as a local law in the zoning code.
If we make it a requirement, if everything else is in the zoning code.
Yeah, the driveway permit's already there, but there's no definition for,
we should amend
no
that.
Distinguishment between rural and a developer.
Exactly. It should all be the same, and we don't treat it the same, is what I'm saying. Okay.
Well, who are the...
I took for granted that you were looking at that with the site plan review.
Well, we do, but I don't see each individual building permit that comes in. I don't know which side of the house the driveway is going to be on when I look at it from a plan perspective. I'm looking at the overall development.
You don't see an elevation. You're only seeing a site plan.
Well, no, I'm seeing a site plan and I'm seeing grades, proposed grades.
No elevation, so you know where the garage is.
I don't know where what end of the house the garage is going to be on, though. You're
not getting an elevation until way down the line.
And I don't necessarily even ever see them. I mean, Tim just issues the building permits.
Okay, somewhere along the line, when the elevation gets established, the highway or you.
Or somebody should.
Somebody needs to take a look.
Yes.
Make sure that there's not a manhole in the way or there's a curve in the road that's going to be.
No sight distance,
So it's more than just the local law you need. You need some kind of interim protocol here in terms of who gets to see these plans and sign off on them. That's not happening now?
No.
So is this a meeting that has to happen with certain players?
I think it's a perfect meeting to have with the Highway Committee. And if you need to bring in
I think Jerry's up to speed and is on the same page as me. It's a matter of, I think we need a local law so that Tim can enforce that requirement, I guess, would be the next step, right, Tony?
Yeah, it sounds like it makes the most sense. We need to look under the code, under the definition of the permit.
Here, let me give this to the contractor doing the drill. I'll be right back.
And expand that to include, the permit must include elevations or whatever we want to put in. Yeah, so it wouldn't be much of a stretch to change the code.
No, but I guess unless I'm understanding something, there's people that have to kind of be involved in this.
Tim's probably
Jack from planning or planning, but just it seems to me there needs to do. If I was going to do this, I would have a meeting
with those
people. Here's the issue. Here's the problem. What's the best way to deal with this?
Yeah.
But that, and I don't know who can push that meeting.
When the planning board does the site plan, it's got a lot. It doesn't show where the house goes, and the planning board never sees where the house goes.
Okay. Technically, Tim, Al, and the highway superintendent.
Yeah, those are the people that are key.
Okay.
I mean, because when he does get the site plan, there's elevations and all that on there, but you don't see individual lots where the house is, where the garage is, and all that stuff. So.
Well, two of those players are not here tonight, Tim and Jerry, but maybe.
Well, we can set up a meeting.
Okay. That's great.
Let's get a meeting before we try to change the law.
Well,
a meeting and say, what is everybody looking for?
These are our concerns. How do we address them?
That's good. Very good.
So, are you done?
Yeah.
Are you done?
I know.
Oh, are you done now?
I'm sorry.
No, just kidding.
We did meet with Jerry yesterday. He mentioned Al Markham has given his resignation and a date. Do you know that?
Al Markham is retired. I didn't know that.
September 26th is his last day of work.
Okay.
Which makes Jerry think ahead here and would like to have Joe Breer become his replacement.
Okay.
And Joe has worked, I think, 5 months. Is that full-time guy?
Yep.
So if Joe becomes Al's replacement,
he
would like to bring in Jamie Kratz. He gave me some notes. To work, he's got 6 months of a full-time guy.
Yep.
So he would like to see Jamie in action for a month.
Okay.
And he would like to asked us to do a resolution tonight adding Mackenzie Butler to the part-time highway list.
Okay.
He's building up. He's losing. So he would like to have Mackenzie Butler become a part-time substitute for the highway department if we could do that tonight.
Yeah, I just float a motion Are we accepting?
Hang on. We do have a nepotism law. Is that John Butler's daughter?
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't know. I honestly, I just, this is the first time hearing of any.
I know, and I don't know. I don't know. I just I don't want to see us get in trouble. Or
is all this okay with the union? I mean, are we doing anything here that they're going to say you should have posted this?
I asked that question, and Jerry said that he did talk with Steve about this. That Steve was fine with all of this. Steve Powers. So.
But I don't know that question. But I don't know the answer to that.
Get
that
in writing. We had a lawsuit 10, 12 years
ago. We did, yeah. Yeah, right. That's why.
So,
yeah.
Whatever they agreed to, I'd get in writing.
And we do have a...
What date is he leaving?
26th of September.
We got time. We don't have to move on to anything tonight.
So,
well, let's do some research on it.
Okay.
And reach out to Steve and make sure. And you're right, get it in writing. Cause,
well, but... I'm uncomfortable with even doing anything without a highway superintendent here to argue or defend the request that is being made. And, you know, I didn't know until you just said something that this was a person that's related to somebody on the highway. And, you know,
well, we don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
And we have a Butler on our staff.
Right. And will there ever be any supervision of one person to the other? You know, those are legitimate concerns.
Yeah. Well, that's why we're discussing them.
So we'll table that.
I mean, put it on. You know, you raise a good question. Just follow up on.
I don't know which ones you're. So.
You know, is this person related to an existing employee? Is the union fine with it? If they are, we'd like to see if they are fine with it.
This is all this.
That's not going to be that.
Obviously, we're familiar with Joe. I have no problem acting on Joe.
What he's going to do with this.
If that's who he sees as his future, mm-hmm. But we have time to appoint him. It's not like time is
up.
Sure. I just want to make sure when we appoint him, we're not violating some.
Okay, so is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
We didn't post it.
This isn't anywhere too. It's not anywhere near $200,000 in work.
Well, that's
we're not.
I'm assuming we're gonna.
We're not gonna.
The
we're
next
not gonna,
item we're gonna discuss.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right. So, Joe.
So he's got a retirement coming up.
Yep.
He's losing a man. He would like to replace that man with Joe Breer.
The guy that we're losing, is he a full-time employee?
Yes.
And he's being replaced by. Part-time employee? Or
the seasonal full-time employee that he brought on this summer.
Okay. Is there anybody in the unit that could fill in that position that would be a promotion of sorts?
I think from a seniority position, I think Joe's got the, like if you looked at the union contract and who would be in line,
okay.
I think so. But
those are the things I would be concerned about other than that.
Yeah.
For his personality.
Makes sense.
And then do some research into the relationship between potential new hire and existing.
Okay. All right. As you know, we released a big chunk of money for construction and maintenance. There's a balance of 198-ish in reserve. He would like us to release that to address the rippling that's going on Drake's Landing from 31 in, and he gave me an estimate of somewhere between $27,000 and $40,000, depending on how far in he can go.
That was not paved because the state asked us to leave it alone because they were in the process of redoing the lights, and that's all their wiring.
Oh, no, he's talking. No, he's talking before the in the end of the cold mix where it's the cold mix is moving.
Yeah, at the
not all the way to 31. No, not all the way to 31. It's where the seam in the hot mix from where our cold in place recycle back.
When we stopped. The rest was the the state asked.
Yeah, that's not what he's talking about.
To do it.
Yeah, he's not what he's talking about. He's talking about from where we stopped going back north, the pavement's all washboard, where the cold mix recycle is. He wants to mill off and put a inch and a half hot mix lift on top of it.
You need to put some finish the under drain from where we stopped out to 31. That's what's causing it. And then you could re-roll it. You could probably re-roll that wash.
Or I don't know. I do agree with the under drain, but because it is only in the lanes of traffic,
yeah.
Like if you go to one side,
yeah.
It's not washboard. So that to me says it's not
moving from breaking.
Yeah, I think it's moving from breaking more so than. I don't get me wrong. I do agree that under drain in that location should be installed. There should also be under drain at the 3 48-inch culverts further north that should be installed, but I do think that this is needed.
The breaking causes that problem, but because the pavement is weak, because there's water under there, and that's what the water started it. And until you fix the water, you're wasting your time to try to do anything.
Don't
else.
Disagree.
Why don't we get some eyes on it? Have you seen this?
I know exactly what he's talking about.
Does the estimated cost for repair?
Yeah, I do think there's some spots where we should do some under drain that work there as well.
But the request from the highway superintendent.
Just for the bill and fill. I know he doesn't.
Does he break that out at all?
This is the first I'm seeing of it.
How's it broken out?
Drake's Landing of Concern estimate between 27,000 and 40-ish, depending on distance we mill and fill with hot.
That's the breakout.
That's right off.
And then Seneca Estates,
there's two road crossings of culvert, big culverts that he needs to work on.
They have sinkholes going
on. He wants to purchase more catch basins for Willow Parkway. He was trying to do a dozen a year or something.
He's got a bunch in the yard there that were for Willow Parkway already that he purchased off of last year's budget.
Look, I have no problem releasing the money. That's what we agreed upon. But I want some detail onto this. I mean, it's $190,000. I want to know how much catch basins are each, how many he's buying, where the work's going to be done. I just want some detail to this. I mean, you're talking huge numbers here, and I know
say the 148-inch culvert that he's talking about in Seneca Estates. The drainage district does not have the money to cover that right now. We're going to have to do some sheeting next to the house where that culvert is. That culvert's bottom. That culvert's down 9 to 10 feet. There's a house within, I would say, 10 feet of the outside edge of trench, and I would be very fearful of the foundation of that house moving if we didn't do some sheeting there, being that deep, that close to it.
Amen to that too.
What's that?
Amen to that too.
I am very. Gene knows exactly where I'm talking about.
We wanted to do that 5 years ago.
And I looked at it and I said, not without doing some sheeting, and we're gonna spend a whole lot of money to sheet that.
All right, so there needs to be.
I mean, he could do the road crossing if he wanted, but the upstream end of it, we can't do without doing some sheeting.
Can you do one without the other?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep. Sure.
And his comment was that the highway responsibility is at the road crossings.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That the drainage district
is outside of the. And he's 100% correct on that.
Okay.
So can we release funds to get him started on two of these projects, or no?
We can release funds. Look, if you guys are comfortable on this handwritten estimate,
I am so uncomfortable with this. I mean, this is, you've got the superintendent not here proposing and defending what he wants to do. And it's not fair to Pete and Bob and Al who are on this committee to be that person's spokesperson. I mean, to me, this is analogous. In the county legislature, you went to a program committee to do something. In my case, it was Parks and Rec or whatever they called it. And Parks and Rec may sign off on it. That would be like Pete and Bob and Al. The next layer was the Ways and Means Committee, and then after that, the final legislature. But at the same, the entire time, if I wasn't there defending what I wanted to do, guess what the vote would have been? That's the protocol. And unless there's an extenuating circumstance for the highway superintendent not to be here, I'm not going to approve him spending any money if he's not here. Unless it's an emergency. And I don't hear any emergency bells ringing here.
I would just like to say about Drake's Landing, I saw where they had written mill on the side of the road. I think going northbound, they cut it off too short. I think you need to go to the second road. If anybody just drive it tonight, you'll feel the bumps. And where they put mill, and like I think is a stop part, I think you really need to go further, because I think a year from now, to the second road, it's, I think you need to go to the second
road. I'll be perfect. I have not been over there since Monday I came down Drake's. And I did not see anything painted for UFPO.
Well, I just saw a white mark where it wrote like mill.
Yeah, I've not seen. It wasn't, I don't think that was there Monday when I went through. Okay. But I will certainly take a look at it then.
I just think if you're going to do it, might as well fix the parts.
I believe he said something about Soup Coat being in the area.
He did.
For
doing another job.
For the State 48. And
why wouldn't we just use our Roselli contract? They're doing River Road.
That was it. River Road.
Yeah, but Roselli's doing it.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's probably
what
he referenced then.
Yeah. And I would say that that's certainly a warranted project. I mean, if you wanted to approve up to $50,000, and then he could do under drain as well, I think that's a good project, and that way we don't miss the opportunity when Roselli's right around the corner to have them come in, and so we don't pay to mobilize the mill again,
right,
to do that work. I think that's I've wanted to do that for a couple of years, so I think it's a worthwhile endeavor.
And that ask, that $50,000 covers the under drain and all the work.
Milling and
paving, yeah.
Paving?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I think that would be more than an item. And, you know, whatever's left he can use to buy catch basins for Willow Parkway. I mean, I know he's got a dozen sitting in the yard over there. And I know he's got some pipes still. And the Seneca Estates road crossings, one of the things I got to do next week is go explore the DOT culvert, because I got their culvert inspection report where the box culvert comes under 370. Well, their report shows it going into a 48-inch corrugated metal pipe.
You mentioned they did some exploratory digging to look at a elongated pipe that was...
Yeah, I don't know if they've gone any further, but what I saw, they only went 5 feet off the road. So what I was saying is the DOT culvert inspection notes that the box culvert connects to a 48-inch round pipe. And their notes don't note any deficiencies in that 48-inch round pipe. So I don't know if that 48-inch round pipe, where that starts and stops, so I'll probably walk in that culvert from the upstream end and walk down it, and then get a distance from the 48-inch pipe to where it converts to 36 by 52 oval pipe.
So it's got to be a.
There should be a catch basin there.
A certain.
Or it might just be stuffed with concrete bags and loose concrete. We've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Concrete bags.
Well, Jerry, he did mention the opportunity to take advantage of the milling machine that was on River Road close by.
I think it's a worthwhile opportunity to we have a great price from Roselli. If it's here and Roselli's willing to do it, it's kind of a no-brainer.
All right, so Bob, you had a concern about allocating any money at all. Hearing the logic and from other people who have experience in this area, I'd be comfortable with allocating $50,000 to the Drake Landings project. It seems like we're going to need a little bit more detail on Seneca Estates if we're doing work outside of the road right away. We're not prepared to put in drainage district work close to those homes. I mean,
the 48 inch pipe, not the arch pipe, the 48 inch pipe that's next to the house. There's some additional work that'll need to be done. I mean, he could do what's in the right of way, no problem. But the rest
and that's
of that,
all he's that's all he references.
That's all he's references. So you can do that, no problem. But the other the end of the pipe that goes up past the house.
All right, well, the time-sensitive request is Drake's Landing.
Correct.
Okay. I'm comfortable with if, you know, Al's done a rough guess as far as the amount of money that it would take to do the under drain and the road
work. I think 50 would more than cover it, including under drain and
in the resolution, I would like it to. This only says mill and fill. I would like the resolution to mention the
under drain.
In the 2 minutes we have remaining, this is. Am I the only one feeling uncomfortable here? This is the first we're hearing about this. If to me, when you have $200,000 sitting there in the bank. Last June, maybe even July, it would have been nice to come to the board and say, here are my priorities for spending $198,000. I want to give you the big picture, and we're not going to be able to get everything done, folks, but here's what I think are the most important things. So come to the point we reach it in the middle of August. Be prepared that I'm going to come to you to release some of that money. Here's the big picture. That's just not happening with this highway superintendent. And, you know, and quite frankly, I don't want to react by the seat of my pants for every single thing that we're doing here. You know, what's going through my mind is, okay, because it was a bone of contention for me, what are you doing with all the culverts that don't have fencing? You were supposed to come up with a plan for me, Jerry. I don't see the plan. You know, Dingle Hole Road, you can still fall into 6 feet of water. You know, what's going on? And maybe this is more important. I'm sure it is. But what's the plan? And you haven't given us that plan. He's not even here. So you guys want to vote for this, vote for it. But I'm tired of it. You know, it's not because I don't think the work should be done. And if it wasn't for Al's credibility here, this, you know, it would be easy to say no to something like this. But I'm tired of this.
I agree with you as far as Al's credibility. You know, if this is, he should be here. Explain to us what needs to be done.
I ain't spending. If you want to vote for $148,000 to be left in the bank, as far as I'm concerned, it can stay there till December 31st until I see a plan. You want to spend $50 tonight? Go ahead and spend it. I'll vote for it. But you're not going to get a nickel out of me for the $148 that's left until there's a plan, a big picture plan. And I'll say that at the board meeting, too.
Okay. All right, so I'm crafting a motion. It'll be a motion to authorize the highway superintendent. Bless you. Highway superintendent to spend up to $50,000 for mill and fill road work to be done on Drake's Landing as well as under drain construction.
Yeah, under drain installation.
Anything else?
Yeah, I think do we have to reference? So they moved that into. I think we have to do a budget transfer because they moved that into a separate account. So to authorize the. So I think you have to say
authorize a budget transfer as necessary because I don't know where it is.
Authorize the comptroller to do a budget transfer as necessary to complete what you just said.
I wanted to ask you something.
Sure.
So I sent a letter to the
I don't know where he is.
Who's he talking to?